The opinions and viewpoints expressed in this recording may not reflect those of its sponsors, Microsoft, its partners, or employees.
Welcome to show number 29, recorded live at SQL Bits in October 2007. In this show, I'm talking to Richard Fennell. Richard's talking about unit testing inside a SQL Server. An interesting topic, and one that Richard is quite vocal about. Saturday the 6th of October, we're at SQL Bits. No beer has been consumed.
Did I?
So far. With me I have Richard Fennell. Richard's talking about unit testing in SQL Server. Richard, do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, where you work, etc.
I'm Richard Fennell. I'm one of the directors of Black Marble. We're a Microsoft Gold partner based up in Bradford in West Yorkshire.
And your session today on unit testing, what inspired you to write that, especially targeting SQL Server?
Well, I've always been interested in testing. My background actually was in electronics testing originally, so ended up in software testing. And it sort of struck me as an area that's not particularly well looked at. You get to a point where it's the data layer, where you just assume it's going to work perfectly. But there's far less differentiation these days between your application and the actual data structure. You're probably writing a fair amount of code actually in your data system, stored procedures or whatever. So when I heard about SQL Bits, I've always enjoyed presenting at the DDD events, and SQL isn't really my main area, I'll be honest. But I do know something about testing, so I started to have a look at what were the various options to bring some of those test-driven development techniques into the land of SQL. It's not testing your volumes of data predominantly, but it's more testing the code that you could potentially write inside your data layer.
Did you have any problems or issues bringing the agile practices of doing the simplest thing that could possibly work into the SQL Server unit testing framework?
It's like with most test-driven developments, the tools aren't necessarily always the issue, but more the philosophy of the people who are trying to work on it. If it's not, it's a new and different practice. It's something I've noticed in my experience with database development, more from the C# developer end and integrating in, that the issues of revision control, change management are more awkward in the SQL environment, and that's historically been a bit of a problem to get the various tools into a sane framework so they're easy to run. But that does change quite a bit with Visual Studio, well, DataDude, but I always forget its long name, for Visual Studio for database professionals, because that's a makes developing your SQL database on a par with developing anything else. You have a collection of files that you somehow build and then you publish them with automated tools, so it's easier to drop testing methodologies into that cycle. It isn't a radically different cycle, or the worst of where you have a live server, copy of SQL query tool up there, and you think, right, what index shall I write? Now it is, you have the chance to make it more formal.
So thinking about Visual Studio, I've come from a background where I use NUnit. You know, so what,
yes,
what tool sets have you managed to use? Have you managed to use NUnit or XUnit.net in SQL Server?
No, from the XUnit family, there is T-SQL Unit.
Wow.
Which was a new one on me until I fairly recently discovered it, which works in a not it's it's from the same family, so it sort of does what you'd expect. Visual Studio has its own testing systems in there, but in the NUnit stock, it's a collection of stored procedures that you can drop into your database, and then you write tests, and you run one stored procedure that scans for all the stored procedures that are you've flagged as tests, runs them, returns the result. So you can have a query window up that every time you make a change, you go and go, and you get... You don't get a green light, red light, but you do get a pass or fail count.
Which is pretty important.
Yeah.
So, Richard, can you tell us a bit about your session that you're giving at SQL Bits today?
Yeah, well, the session I'm going to go through today I'm making the assumption that quite a few of the people here aren't developers in the .NET sense or Java sense, so unit testing may be fairly new to some people, especially if they're more on the DBA side. So I'm going to do a sort of a unit testing 101, and then I'm going to follow that. I'm going to go through the use of T-SQL unit, and then finally looking at all the various tools for testing inside Datadude. So not limiting it to test, but also looking to the way it can prepare data to actually create large volumes of data to make testing somewhat more practical if you are interested in the performance of various items.
So how granular are these tests that you've got in the stored procedures? Are they very, very granular, or are they quite large?
I would always err on as small as possible with unit tests. You get into the interesting point of, and it's a unit testing argument really, is that if I've got a unit test, should it only ever do one test? Or should it do a test and then maybe, after it's done something, test four conditions at the end and see if they're all passed or failed? And it's a bit of a religious argument in the test-driven development. It's one test, one thing, no shared methods. If I want another test a bit like it, I copy it, I don't share it, and I change the final condition. Because of the rip-up and pull-down costs of data for an awful lot of the tests, what I've found with unit testing databases is it's just normally just too prohibitively expensive to go forward and have separate tests, especially if there's a lot of data prep going on. You can get away with a lot of those problems by using transactions to throw away changes. But again, if you've got data tests that take a while, it's problematic. So on the general scale of tests, it's the best game for me appears to be where you're writing user functions and stored procedures, where often financial processing or things, there is a very definite in and out for your tests, where you end up with fairly small tests that test very specific conditions upon bits of code you've effectively written, a user test or whatever. It seems to work less well when you're testing your bulk import exports, and there's probably other techniques, you know, black box testing it from externally, from any unit for the matter of argument. It's an interesting barrier. You can't use the SQL unit testing by itself. And there's an awful lot of times where testing from outside the SQL server and still treating your SQL server as a black box is a more appropriate way of working. But the nice thing with Datadude is you can mix the two. Because a Visual Studio test project doesn't care what type of tests it has in it. They can be manual, they can be SQL, they can be performance, load testing, or they can be unit testing. So arguably gives the best of both worlds, but I just get the feeling from the research I've done that there's not that many people pushing that hard down that route yet for automated testing with these strange combined test models. They tend to be, I'll have my unit tests for this bit, I'll have that, and we'll worry about the integration testing, probably at a more traditional driving the user interface test model. Which,
do you think you can integrate SQL Server unit testing within the build process so that I can integrate it perhaps with my end unit test, such that if the build fails completely, you know, we've got some method of getting a green light or a red light kicking off somewhere, or the infamous lava lamp scenario? Is that possible, integrating SQL Server?
Yes, yeah. Well, certainly if you're using the Microsoft tools, it's just another Microsoft test project. So effectively it's running MS test, it'll fly or fail. It'll fly or fail whenever you're running it, so you do get your normal feedbacks there. If you want to look more down your continuous integration route, which is probably not quite the right place to put this type of unit test, but if you're using something like cruise control, there's no reason why you couldn't write your own thing, because to run the actual test, all you're running is a piece of T-SQL. You're just going exec TSU run test. That's all you do, and the results come out as a block of text. But you've got all the source of the stored procedure anyway, because they're stored procedures. You can always modify what it returns to give something more appropriate for consumption in your testing environment. There's no reason why you can't bolt it into your build process. That's no difficulty whatsoever. What might be an interesting way of treating it is getting NUnit to trigger the SQL tests. I think that might be an interesting mechanism for trying to tie things all together. But we are, as a company, moving away from NUnit and moving down the Microsoft MS test route. So I'm slightly less focused on that than I used to be.
What are the learning outcomes of your session today?
well, hopefully I'll expose more people to the joys of unit testing and test-driven development. And it's also the fact to show that there are tools out there that will allow you to treat the code that lives inside your SQL database like any other piece of code. Historically, there was always a bit of a gulf between the database programmer who lived in the land of stored procedures and the rest of the development community. And I hope people see from this that that isn't necessarily needed to the case, and you can pull together and get unified testing running right through the system.
Richard Fennell, thanks for your time. Okay. What's your blog?
My blog is on a company blog server, which is blogs.blackmarble.co.uk/blogs/rfennell.
Thanks again.
The music used in this podcast was provided by Kevin MacLeod. Visit his website at www.incompetech.com. That's INCOMPETECH. This was a CraigMurphy.com production.